opening narration.
Akhotra Foundation presents the Akhotra Dialogue, an exploration of the world's greatest thinkers and ideas. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Akhotra AI.
Introduction.
Welcome to the Akhotra Dialogue. Today we're diving into the life of a true American original, an icon whose voice defined a century, but whose life was just packed with contradictions. Frank Sinatra.
Absolutely. And we're looking at him through the lens of Anthony Summers' really definitive biography, Sinatra, The Life.
Summers, he's the investigative journalist.
Yeah.
Takes a different approach than most biographers.
Exactly. A Pulitzer finalist treats biography like a cold case. He digs into FBI files, court records, hundreds of interviews, not just repeating old stories. He's looking for the evidence, the why behind the myth.
So what's the big picture Summers paints? Because Sinatra, I mean, you hear the name and think,
yeah,
velvet voice, Rat Pack, cool, maybe Whispers of the Mob.
Well, Summers' core idea is that you can't just pick one Sinatra. He wasn't just the singer or the actor or the guy with connections. He argues Sinatra was this deeply fractured fusion of all these warring parts.
Warring parts, like the genius and the darker side?
Precisely. Summers connects the dots between the incredible talent, that voice, that phrasing, and his, well, his demons.
Mm-hmm.
The insecurity, the explosive temper, the political games, and yeah, a lifelong, very functional relationship with organized crime.
Functional, that's an interesting word for it.
It is. Summers makes the case that you fundamentally misunderstand both the man and the art if you try to separate them. The darkness wasn't separate from the genius. It arguably fueled it in some ways.
Wow. So his story isn't just about music. It's kind of a roadmap through 20th century America, right?
Mm-hmm.
Fame, power, compromise.
Definitely. It's a fascinating, often uncomfortable look at how those things intersect. His life really holds up a mirror to that era.
The chronological journey.
Okay, so let's trace that journey. Summer starts where? Hoboken.
Yeah, Hoboken, New Jersey. And right away, the key figure isn't Frank. It's his mother, Dolly, Madalena Sinatra.
She looms large in the book, doesn't she?
Immensely. She was a local political force, a Democratic ward boss, respected, feared maybe. She knew how power worked on a local level.
And she also had that other business.
Yes, the illegal abortion operation. Summers argues this wasn't just about money. It taught Frank, her only child, these early potent lessons about secrecy, influence, and how things really get done, transactional relationships.
So he's soaking this up. Pampered kid, but also like a scrappy Italian kid in a tough town.
Exactly. Summers points to this lifelong complex, this mix of entitlement, because he was Dolly's golden boy, but also this deep-seated outsider's insecurity, always needing to prove himself, always needing control.
And then comes the music, the breakthrough with Harry James, Tommy Dorsey.
Right, the big band era. And then he goes solo, and it's just explosion, Sinatra mania, the Bobby Soxers. He becomes America's first real teen idol. Unbelievable phenomenon.
But Summers finds the shadows even then.
Oh, yeah. Right there at the start of his solo career is the alleged connection to Willie Moretti, the mobster.
The story about getting out of the Dorsey contract.
Summers presents compelling evidence suggesting Moretti's muscle helped Sinatra break that restrictive contract. It wasn't just a favor. Summers frames it as the beginning of a lifelong debt, an essential business and power alliance. It set a pattern.
Wow. Okay, so meteoric rise, but with these complicated foundations. Then comes the crash, right? Early 50s.
A spectacular flameout. I mean, his record sales just tanked. His TV show was a disaster. And his image, that sort of clean-cut crooner thing, was obliterated by the affair with Ava Gardner.
Their relationship sounds intense.
Yeah. Force of nature is how Summers puts it. Passionate, absolutely, but also incredibly volatile. Violent fights, public screaming matches. It was destructive for both of them. Sinatra even had a vocal cord hemorrhage. People generally thought he was finished, washed up.
And from that, he claws his way back with From Here to Eternity, the movie role.
The role of Angelo Maggio. He campaigned hard for it, desperately. And this is where that persistent rumor comes in, the one echoed in The Godfather.
Mafia pressure on the studio boss.
Summers couldn't find, you know, a smoking gun, direct proof of a threat. But he lays out a lot of circumstantial evidence pointing to mob influence, helping Sinatra land that part.
And the Oscar changes everything.
Completely. It wasn't just a comeback. It was a resurrection. It gave him this new, tougher persona. And Summers argues something crucial here. The pain of that era, especially the heartbreak with Gardner, was essential. It transformed him from just a pop crooner into this master interpreter of adult loss and heartache. That's when the real depth emerged in his music.
So the fall and rise makes him more complex, more resonant.
You could say that. certainly cemented the image of Sinatra the survivor, the guy who could take a hit and come back stronger, maybe tougher, maybe harder.
Which leads into his peak, the chairman of the board years, mid-50s, 60s.
Absolutely his zenith. Artistically, those Capitol Records albums, In the Wee Small Hours, Songs for Swingin' Lovers, they're masterpieces. They basically invented the concept album.
And socially, the Rat Pack, Vegas.
Oh, yeah. He was a leader. Dean Martin, Sammy Davis Jr., Peter Lawford, Joey Bishop. They turned Vegas into their personal kingdom. But Summers digs into the business side, too. Sinatra's ownership in places like the Cal Neville Lodge.
Fronting for mob interests.
Summers makes a strong case that he was, yeah. His ties to figures like Sam Giancana, the Chicago Boss, weren't just rumors anymore. They were public, undeniable. And his temper.
Yeah.
It became legendary. Lots of stories of bullying, physical fights.
And he dives into politics, too. Big time with JFK.
Hugely important for Kennedy's 1960 campaign. Sinatra was a major fundraiser, organizer, Hollywood liaison. He threw himself into it.
And Summers explores the Giancana connection there, too, helping with the vote.
He presents the FBI evidence suggesting Sinatra might have been a go-between, linking the Kennedy campaign to Giancana, who possibly helped deliver that crucial Illinois vote.
Sinatra must have thought this was his ticket, right? Ultimate acceptance.
That seems to be the interpretation. He craved that legitimacy. But then, after the election, Robert Kennedy, the attorney general, advises JFK to cut ties publicly because the mob connections were just too blatant.
Ouch. How did Sinatra take that?
Terribly. JFK canceled a planned stay at Sinatra's Palm Springs home, which Sinatra had specially renovated for him. Summers describes Sinatra going into a destructive rage, sledgehammering walls. Apparently, it was a deep, deep wound.
A major turning point, then.
A huge one. Summers argues it hardened his cynicism, pushed him away from the Democrats towards Republicans like Nixon and Reagan later on. That rejection really stung.
Core philosophy and values.
So, looking at this whole sweep, what drove him? What was Sinatra's core philosophy, according to Summers' analysis?
Well, it seems less like a neat philosophy and more like a set of powerful, sometimes conflicting drives. A huge one was that relentless hunger for legitimacy and control.
Stemming from that Hoboken insecurity you mentioned?
Absolutely. Despite the fame, the money, the power, there was this bottomless need for approval, for being in charge, for being accepted by the establishment, whether it was Hollywood royalty or political power brokers like the Kennedys.
And when he didn't get it.
That's when the temper, the lashing out, the bullying would erupt. It was a defense mechanism against feeling slighted or dismissed. Control was paramount.
What about values? Loyalty seems like a big theme both ways.
Yeah. Loyalty was huge for him, almost tribal. He demanded absolute loyalty from his circle, the Rat Pack, his employees, and he could be incredibly generous to those he considered loyal.
Right.
But that loyalty could curdle into possessiveness, obsessive jealousy, especially in relationships. And Summers suggests his own loyalty was, well, sometimes transactional. His political shifts, for instance, seemed driven as much by perceived slights as by ideology. And his deepest, most consistent loyalty, arguably, was to his own survival and dominance.
So a complex mix. Drive for success, need for control, fierce loyalty, but also maybe a certain ruthlessness when crossed.
I think that captures it. Not simple, not always pretty, but undeniably powerful forces shaping his life.
Three pivotal turning points.
Summers' book must highlight some key moments that really changed Sinatra's trajectory. Can we pull out maybe three pivotal turning points?
Definitely. I think the first one, though early, has to be getting out of that Tommy Dorsey contract, allegedly with Willie Moretti's help.
Why so pivotal?
Because, according to Summers' evidence, it established that foundational link to organized crime right at the launch of his solo career. It showed him a path to power outside the rules and created obligations that would follow him for decades. It set a precedent.
Okay, that makes sense. What's number two?
I'd say the entire Ava Gardner period, culminating in the From Here to Eternity comeback, is really two sides of the same coin.
The crash and the resurrection.
Exactly. The affair and marriage nearly destroyed him professionally and personally. It stripped away the Bobby Soxer image. But then winning that Oscar for Maggio wasn't just a career boost. It fundamentally reshaped his persona into something darker, deeper, more resilient, and it arguably unlocked a new level of artistry born from that pain. It was a trial by fire he emerged from, transformed.
A painful transformation, but a transformation nonetheless. And the third turning point.
Has to be the JFK rejection. His intense involvement in the 1960 campaign, the belief he'd finally achieved ultimate insider status, and then being publicly pushed away because of the mob ties.
The Palm Springs incident.
That symbolized it. Summers portrays this as a moment of profound disillusionment and rage for Sinatra. It severed his deep ties to the democratic establishment he'd worked so hard to cultivate, and arguably cemented a cynicism that influenced his later political shifts and perhaps even his personal behavior. It was a door slammed shut.
Human lessons and reflect.
Okay, this is a powerful, complicated story. What can we, listening now, take away from this unvarnished look at Sinatra's life? What are the human lessons here?
Well, first off, it's a huge lesson in the complexity of human nature. You just can't paint Sinatra in black or white.
The genius and the bully living in the same skin.
Right. The sublime artist and the, frankly, sometimes vicious man. Summers really forces us to grapple with that. And the lesson for us, I think, is to resist those easy judgments about people, public figures or not. People are rarely just one thing. Admirable qualities can exist right alongside deep flaws.
That's a good point. What else?
The corrosive nature of unchecked ego and insecurity, that bottomless hunger for legitimacy Summers talks about. It drove him, yes, but it also caused so much turmoil, the rages, the need to dominate.
It's a cautionary tale, then.
Definitely. It shows how, even with immense success, unresolved insecurity can make you lash out and damage relationships, damage yourself. It really underscores the importance of self-awareness, maybe some humility, and managing those inner demons. True strength isn't just about power over others.
Is there anything positive we can draw?
I think so. There's a fascinating insight into the link between vulnerability and creativity. Some of his most profound, moving art came directly from his deepest pain, like the Ava Gardner heartbreak, fueling those incredible saloon songs.
So embracing difficult emotions can fuel art.
It suggests that, yes, for anyone creative, it hints that processing vulnerability, rather than just burying it, can be a source of powerful, authentic expression, pain into art.
And one more.
Maybe the perils of ends justify the means. His alliances with organized crime, they certainly gave him leverage, power, especially early on and in Vegas. But ultimately, Summers argues, they cost him dearly reputationally and in terms of achieving that legitimate acceptance he craved from people like the Kennedys.
So the methods matter.
They absolutely matter. It's a reminder that how you get there is just as important as where you're going. Shortcuts often have hidden long-term costs.
Three final takeaways.
Okay, if we had to boil down the essence of Summers' deep dive into Sinatra into three key takeaways for our listeners, what would they be? Let's think. An emotional insight, an intellectual one, and something practical or universal.
Okay, for the emotional insight, I think it has to be grappling with that intense duality. Feeling the beauty and sensitivity in the music while simultaneously acknowledging the documented cruelty and volatility of the man. It's emotionally complex because it challenges our desire for heroes to be simple. We have to hold both truths at once.
That's powerful. All right, an intellectual insight.
Intellectually, the key takeaway from Summers is the inextricable link to organized crime. Not as a footnote, not as rumors, but as a foundational element shaping his career, his power structures, particularly in Vegas, and ultimately impacting his political aspirations. Understanding this connection is crucial to understanding his trajectory and the mechanisms of power he operated within. It wasn't tangential, it was central.
Right. Seeing it as structurally important. Okay, and finally, a universal insight. Something practical we can all relate to.
I think the most universal lesson revolves around that destructive force of unchecked insecurity. Regardless of fame or status, that deep-seated need for validation, that lashing out when feeling slighted, that's a profoundly human struggle. Sinatra's life, in Summers' telling, becomes a stark, large-scale illustration of how vital self-awareness, emotional regulation, and finding internal validation are, rather than constantly seeking it externally, often through dominance or control. It's about managing the ego before it manages you.
Closing narration.
Join us next time for a new episode featuring another world-renowned individual, a new book, and a new idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Acatra Foundation.